Now, you may ask, the whole creation is Hashem's will. Every nuance, component, and element of creation exists because of Hashem's will. It's all His will. It's all His properties in a way. So the Alter Rebbe explains. Now Hashem's will, who mekayir hachayim l'chol ha'olam is v'abruyim. Hashem's will is the source of life for all the worlds and for all the creatures. They only exist because Hashem desires. So Hashem's ratzin constitutes the source of life for every single thing. So His ratzin is what fuels them, what animates them, what grants them vitality and stamina and existence and being and so forth. However, nevertheless, there is a powerful difference between the divine will expressed in mitzvahs, that I want a mitzvah, I want a Jew should put on tefillin, I want a Jew should have a mezuzah on his door, I want a Jew should eat kosher, I want a Jew should fast in Yom Kippur, I want a Jew should daven, or so forth, give charity, between that divine will and the divine will expressed in creation. I want that the Grand Canyon in Arizona should have this and this image, which is very powerful. And I want that there should be this amount of galaxies, and that the world should look thus and thus, and that every element of the world should have its unique quality and features, or whatever is happening in this world. There's a very powerful difference between these two divine wills. Because in the divine will, which is the source of life for all creatures, he says, "Sheyirid aleihem." This life, this divine energy, descends to them, to the creatures, which means it's communicated to them. It's actualized in bringing them into being. By means of many contractions, the hester ponim shorotzen al yom baruch, and through the concealment of the face of the countenance of Hashem's will, of the supernal will. It's fueled by His will. It comes from His will. It sources His will. But it's communicated to all of the creatures that are created through this vitality, through many constructions, through a concealment in which the will is obscured, is not felt. V'yiridas hamadregis, and through a descent from level to level, which alienates the energy from its original will in a revealed way. To the extent, in other words, all these steps are necessary. So that all of them, all the whole world, all of the worlds, should be able to be created, should be able to come into being and to be created. Yesh meyayin, something from nothing, ex nihilo, v'davon nifrid b'fnei atzmai, as separate entities, experiencing themselves as separate entities, without their existence becoming nullified, as explained above in Tanya, in chapters 20 and 21 and 22, and then we discussed it in 33 and so forth. What is the definition of the world? As he puts it here, Dava Nifrid B'fnei Atzmai. The world has an ego. What is the definition of this table? A table. The definition of this microphone is a microphone. And it serves its function as that. And the definition of me is me. There's I and there's you and so on and so forth. There's, hopefully, whatever it may be, whether it's minerals, inanimate matter, in the botanic world, the animal world, the human race and so forth. Why do we define the world in such terms? Why do I experience myself as I and you as you and the world as an entity, each feature, each creature with its own qualities? In fact, we know, the Alter Rebbe explained before, that there's only one true identity, one true I, similar, as he put it, to the presence of a few words that express a feeling, when they are still absorbed in the essence of the intimate feeling, when I am feeling a passionate love towards you, in the presence of that love before I articulated it, the potential for articulation and the ability to express these words through the words I love you are there. But obviously in the presence of their intimate progenitor and source, they have no name, they have no identity, they have no significance or value whatsoever. And the same is true concerning the entire world, which constitutes a few words of Hashem that articulate His wisdom in one specific way and His feelings in one specific way. That articulate His wisdom and His feelings, that being in the presence of His intimate self, and they never leave that presence, they have no name and they have no identity. The only identity is Hashem's intimacy. So how is it possible that we experience ourselves as entities that have character, that have personality, that are significant? And the answer is, because His intimacy and His essence is concealed. So as a result of the Tzimtzumim Rabim, through which His identity, the Creator's identity, is concealed in the process, the world emerges as having a significance of its own. And it becomes so concealed till it creates something that defines itself in terms of itself. It doesn't define itself in terms of being part of Hashem's intimate identity, being absorbed in it, not even being dependent upon it. It defines itself in terms of ego. When there's no Hester upon Him, when truth is revealed, when the layers of perception are cleansed, and things appear as they truly are, the sense of I ceases to exist. Zagdal Tereba, everything comes from Hashem's Ratzon. But in every single thing, the vitality that's fueled by the Ratzon is extremely contracted and obscured and so forth to be able to create a world. Shein kenam mitzvahs versus the mitzvahs. On the other hand, shein pri mitzvah tzeini is baruch, which are the internal aspect of the divine will. Ve'ein sham hester panim klal, and the countenance of face is not hidden there at all. So in mitzvahs, there's no hester panim. There's no concealment of the true identity of what is going on in the world. So therefore, since there is no Hester Panim whatsoever, there's no sense of ego, there's no sense of self, there's no sense of separation. Ein achayis shebehem davar nifrid b'fnei atzmei klal. So the godly life force within them, within the mitzvahs, is by no means a separate entity. Elohu meyuchad v'nichlol b'ritzeinu yizbarach. Rather, it's united within and absorbed within Hashem's will. And they, the mitzvahs, are absolutely joined in perfect unity with Hashem's will, without any separate or distinct ego or identity. In mitzvahs, the true nature of all reality is revealed. Obviously, that's why it's miyuchad, it's not Ritzainai. Let's explain. In the presence of Hashem's Ratzain, of Hashem's intimate self, the Tanya discussed at length before, and here he doesn't go reiterate and re-explain all the concepts that were discussed at length in the earlier chapters. In the presence of His intimacy, the articulation of those experiences, of those inner experiences, when they're still absorbed in your essence, don't have any distinct identity whatsoever. I gave you then the metaphor that when you're feeling love to someone, obviously, that feeling contains within itself the ability to be articulated in certain words. But you're not going to say, someone asks you, what are you feeling? I see a big smile on your face. You say, my feeling is comprised of two components. One component of the feeling is, I'm feeling powerful love to the other person. And another component of the feeling is the spelling of the words, I love you. Obviously, the spelling is there, but it's not an issue. It becomes an issue only when it leaves the experience and you have to articulate it to someone else. You need words and so forth. So if the whole world is Hashem's words, when they're still contained in the intimate presence and essence of Hashem, they have no name of their own. They have no identity of their own. Nevertheless, Hashem desired that there should be cover-ups and many cover-ups. And the true I, that His will, His intimacy should not be present in creation. And that gives room for the world to experience itself in egotistical terms, to experience itself as identities. In mitzvahs, however, that's not the case. In mitzvahs, His ratzon is revealed. There is no hester ponim whatsoever in mitzvahs. So in mitzvahs, there is no concealment. If there is no concealment, there is no separation. There is no identity but Him. The true nature of all reality in mitzvahs is totally conspicuous. And he adds, same pnimius ritzonius baruch. He adds here another point. It's His internal will. Because in will itself there are various layers and facets. You'll ask someone, you'll ask your friend, what is this person all about? You may watch him do a lot of things that he wants to do. You may watch him fix his flat tire. He wants to do that. If not, he wouldn't do it. You may watch him fix the lock on his door. You may watch him take out the garbage, sweep the floor, jog, answer telephones, drive a car, get onto the subway. He may be doing, and all these actions are fueled by his will. But you'll ask, what is this person all about? What is his true essence? What makes him tick? What are his pleasures? What are his inner delights? What are his true wills? From a chassidus point of view, that's a mitzvah. Just like a person, lahavdil, Hashem also engages in many things, including creation of the universe, because He wants it. But pnimi yisritzayne, what is He all about? What does He really want? What is His real pleasures? Those are mitzvahs. That's Hashem's intimate will. That's where His essence is expressed. That's His intimate will. So mitzvahs are not just ritzayne, they're pnimi yisritzayne. You have here a projection of His intimacy. And this intimacy is b'li hester, ain't shem hester ponim kol, is not concealed. What's the definition of a mitzvah? That Hashem wants it to happen. The definition of a stone is what? A stone. Hashem wants that the stone should exist, but it's not revealed in the stone. A mitzvah doesn't have any other definition. When a Jew is putting on tefillin, what are you going to define it as? Something very weird is happening. What is the definition of mitzvah? Hashem wants it. That's the only definition it has. A table has a definition. It's a table. How does it have a definition of that table? If it's absorbed in Hashem's intimacy, because it's Esther Panah. And therefore the ego can experience itself as an ego. In mitzvahs, you have Hashem's intimate will, and it's absolutely revealed. That's the definition of a mitzvah. Now, the only experience of separation, of something being defined outside of Hashem, is only because there is concealment. In a mitzvah, there's nothing is concealed. If nothing is concealed, so the only reality, real reality, is that is what is playing itself out. That's what exists in the presence of a mitzvah. And now, here we have the beginning of the answer of the Alter Rebbe to this big question of what was the purpose of the life of the Beinoni. Which began with the first question in Perek Lamed Hey that we learned last week.
What is the real significance of La'asaysay? Of behaving spiritually, of living a life of Torah and mitzvahs in your action. When you lack feelings sometimes and you never transform your feeling self, your emotional, animalistic self. So the Alter Rebbe said and says, La'asaysay. La'asaysay is deeper than everything. La'asaysay causes the Shechina to be present in your life. That's not a life in vain. That's not a futile life. That is a godly life more than the deepest awe and love. La'asaysay allows you to connect with the ultimate truth of reality, with godliness. So when we ask a question, what's the purpose of this marriage? What's the purpose of the Beinoni's marriage to Hashem? Of the marriage between the two souls that are always fighting, even if he always wins the argument, even if the divine soul wins the argument. What's the purpose of his marriage with Hashem, where there's never a normal marriage because the animal soul is always combating and so forth? Zogt Alter Rebbe, what is the real essence of marriage? The real essence of marriage is intimacy. And the Beinoni continually experiences intimacy with Hashem. What is intimacy? Into me see. That there are no concealments, no partitions, no walls. There's a total revelation and a union of the two realities in the deepest way. In the tzaddik's life, true, the tzaddik doesn't have any dark secrets. The tzaddik, even his dark secrets, are white, luminescent. But in the tzaddik's whiteness, there's no revelation of the Shechina independently. The Beinoni may have a lot of gloominess and darkness and dark secrets and lacking love and awe and so forth. But the real definition of marriage, total vulnerability, surrender of the ego, total union with Hashem, that exists in the life of the Beinoni, because that's La'asaysay when he does a mitzvah. When I do a mitzvah, which the Beinoni constantly does, the very essence of Hashem dwells in my life, not in my feeling, but in the deed. And not just between the divine soul and God, even the animal soul, as he will discuss in the chapter, becomes absorbed in that intimacy, because that's part of the mitzvah. So the Beinoni may not experience ecstasy with God, like the tzaddik, but he experiences intimacy with God. And you can experience ecstasy with someone, but no intimacy. And that's a fake marriage. And you can experience intimacy without ecstasy, and that's a real marriage. So the question, what you want? If you want the image of it, the image of having God, then the Beinoni's life is tragic and traumatic. If you want the image of spirituality, if you want the ecstasy, the passion, the romance, the drama of spirituality, it's a life of futility. Yes, at moments the horse thinks it became a human being, it became an angel. A few hours pass, he thinks he's not an angel, he's not a human being, he's a horse. But if you want the essence, Alter Rebbe says, Beinoni, rejoice, dance, celebrate. If you want to feel as if godliness is close to you, then the Beinoni must weep and cry, because it doesn't feel that way. The animal soul is too powerful in his life. But if you want to be close to Hashem, you don't want to feel as if he's close. You want to be close. That the Beinoni has every moment. I've had a tzaddik first as well. We're not negating the tzaddik who does mitzvahs. He's not worse than the Beinoni. Yeah. One second. We'll get to that in one moment. So we have to... I'll get to that in a moment. We have to understand there very clearly the distinction between feeling close and being close. That's the difference between ecstasy and intimacy. You can feel close to God through many ways. The tzaddik feels close through his spirituality. And then, lahavdil, elof avdala, there are other ways of thinking you feel close to God. Like LSD. Or artificial substances. And so on and so forth. I'm talking about, in your perception, feeling you're close. To be close, you can be close without ecstasy, without shivers, and without a transcendental, consuming feeling. Just like we discussed in food there. Something can impact you and have its effect that it needs without you feeling it and so forth. One of the members of our shiur emailed me a story that I never read. about the holy Reb Aaron of Karlin, who was one of the greatest students of the Maggid of Mizrich. Passed away at a very young age, I think at 36. Very young age, which is also connected to a whole story. But in any case, everybody knows that when the Maggid would start saying Teda, most of his students would go into transcendental ecstasy. The Maggid would start saying Teda, Reb Yitzchak Baditcher would jump up on the table and begin dancing. Reb Zusha Vanipali would begin rolling on the ground. It was Lebedik. Some people used to go out, scream. When you start saying Teda, they went into that mode. When you go into that mode, your levels of consciousness are functioning on a higher level. Generally, the two that remained intact was the Volpa, whom we once discussed, and the Alter Rebbe. Initially, they thought that Alter Rebbe doesn't understand it, so he's not being affected that way. Then they realized that Alter Rebbe understands it as much as anyone else, but the whole unique contribution of the Alter Rebbe was in creating vessels for the deepest intimate levels. Chabad, Chachon bin Adas. In any case, once the Maggid started to say Teirah, and Reb Aaron of Karlin went into a state of absolute ecstasy, total ecstasy. The Maggid finished, and he was there. He was in the higher spheres. He was not operating on the ordinary level of consciousness. He was operating on an infinite level. And he was not coming out of it. The friends, the colleagues, the other students of the Maggid tried to awake him, to shake him up, to push him, to give him some food, to bring him back to the earthly world, but to no avail. His soul and his psyche and his consciousness was just in the celestial plane, in the spiritual plane. So the Maggid suggested that they take him out of the room and they put him in bed. They laid him down in bed, and he did not come out of it. He remained that way for a day, and then for another day. And then he awoke from his ecstasy. And that broke him for the rest of his life, because he missed Philip. And at the end of his life he wrote, and these were his words, "I doubt if there's a greater Prisheya Yisrael than me in the world." Reb Aaron Karlin experienced ecstasy beyond the greatest ecstasy of the greatest Beinoni of all times. But he lacked intimacy because he didn't punch him. That's what broke him. He experienced the deepest ecstasy, Ava Yir on the highest degree, but he didn't have intimacy. The presence of Hashem Echad, he didn't have. Obviously not by his volition and so forth. It was because of his spirituality. We're not talking now about Elam Haba and Purgatory. The Alter Rebbe doesn't discuss mitzvahs in that context. it's of no issue. That's not the issue. We're talking what devastated Reb Aaron of Karlin. What devastated him is that Hashem Echad is Echad Emes Hu Levado Yehu Ve'en Zelos. And for that you need a mitzvah. If you want God in your life, you need a mitzvah. If you want ecstasy in your life, you have a neshama. A neshama is a gewaldi kazach. Chelik of the kamimal. But it's a consciousness that experiences Hashem. If it's a consciousness, less machshava tfisa bei. If there's a consciousness, then it can be Him. In His intimacy, there's no other presence, there's no other identity. Everything is absorbed, doesn't have a name. When Hashem's intimacy is revealed, nothing else assumes any definition of existence. As discussed above and in earlier chapters of Tanya. So when there's a concealment, then there could be a definition of self. In mitzvahs, there's no concealment, there's no self. It totally is Ratzon. In truth, as Chassidus illuminates this concept, that this is really the essence behind the Sefer Kehelas, Ecclesiastics of Shlomo HaMelech. How does Shlomo HaMelech begin Kehelas? Hevel avolima, my kehelas hakol havel. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity, all is futile. My yisrael la'adam v'cholam alishayam al tachas hashemesh. Der heilich v'der bava aritz leilu meimedes. What profit is there from all the toil of a human being under the sun? A generation goes, a generation comes, and the earth still stands. Koheles is a description of the futility of life and existence. To really understand Koheles, talk to a person who's in deep depression and will be able to paint to you the blackest images of what life is. And really, all of us, we usually get in touch with those feelings as a result of certain pain. But it's a very deep feeling of existential loneliness that Shlomo HaMelech describes there. Where after everything's said and done, this world seems so futile and in vain and dark and so forth. Nihilism is a very common feeling that some people experience. Okay. And what's the last pasuk in Koheles? At the end of the day, fear Hashem, do His mitzvahs, because that constitutes the whole responsibility of a person. So usually you interpret it, yes, we're aware of the darkness that characterizes life and the universe and the inherent paradoxes and the unsolvable questions. But basically the best way to live is as if there's a purpose and if things make sense and so forth. That's on one level. Another level, you'll experience Olam Haba, whatever it is. Alter Rebbe explains it differently. Avada, the whole Koheles is true. Kizek kol adam. But notwithstanding that, the Beinoni lives a life where he remains till the end of his life with wounds that are never healed. There's a lot of blackness that cannot be rectified. There are many questions that cannot be solved. There are things that are never completed. There are wounds that are never healed. There are holes that are never filled in the life of the Beinoni. But you want to know what the bottom line is? What makes life unbelievably significant? Eselakim yiravas mitzvahs of Shmei. A mitzvah. Here you have intimacy with the essence of Hashem. Now you ask a good question. And that's the last Seisa. That's the last Seisa of the Beinoni. Now you'll ask a good question. What is the purpose in that itself? We're saying the uniqueness of the Beinoni is that although he struggles and although he subdues his animal soul and never transforms it, but the Shekhinah dwells in the presence of the Beinoni's divine soul, body, and even animal soul, as he discusses later in the chapter. What is the Gevaltik Kazach in that itself, that the animal soul experiences intimacy with Hashem? And for that, the Beinoni has to struggle. That, the Alter Rebbe will explain in chapter 36. The answer of Lamed Hei continues for 35, 36, and then 37. No? He begins discussing this new theme of La Saisa, which wasn't discussed in the earlier chapters of Tanya. I'll just conclude with a story I read lately. You know, you're asking a good question. Is this indeed the doctrine of Chabad Chassidus? What about the position attributed to the great Tzaddikim and the great Rebbes and so forth? And here you see exactly the view of the Alter Rebbe, a view that was personified in the lives of the Rebbes of Chabad, including the Rebbe par excellence in their attitude to La'asaisa, to mitzvahs, to behavior, to halacha. Alter Rebbe describes it as Tzadik Gamur, whose life and heart is on fire towards Hashem Echad. Nevertheless, the greatest spiritual man needs mitzvahs, needs La'asaisai. That's where the real thing is. That's where we really begin talking. In the mitzvah, that is it. That's the essence. The mitzvah.
Yes, the mitzvah might be boring, the mitzvah might seem hollow, the mitzvah might seem physical, the mitzvah might seem sometimes futile, heaven forbid, whatever the mitzvah may seem. That mitzvah is deeper than the deepest spirituality. There and only there do you have the oil where the Shekhinah comes down into your life. Everyone who does a mitzvah. Does it mean you're asking that a Rebbe essentially without it is a yesh? You're saying close enough that we could be confused. And I would put it this way. When the yesh of the personality integrates the awareness of what La'asaisai does to it, the mitzvah can perhaps irrigate and saturate the persona of
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.